Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Father Knows Something. We have Justin and, of course, me, but no Holly. And Morgan's a little tired today. I'm dirty because I've been working at Dad's hangar. And so forgive me, but we wanted to get the show in and have it for this week. I want to make a couple notes real fast, and I'm going to let Justin go at it. But we were at the Minneapolis show, and I promised Lizzie that I would certainly talk to her about my socks, which are wiener dog socks in honor of her dog, Franklin. And also, Jacita.
Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin. And then we have a birthday note to Jacita, who's 24 years old on May 6th. She was at the show. Mm-hmm. And I would say that we would say happy birthday to her, even though we're a little behind the eight ball.
Okay.
So now it's your turn. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I am quite warm.
You're quite warm?
It's quite warm in here.
Well, this is our last night in the studio.
That's true.
We are tearing it down. We're moving on. We're getting a bigger studio.
Last show ever in the studio.
So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what it looks like. Maybe we'll take a picture or two as we're doing it.
Maybe. So the theme?
Yes, sir.
Prioritizing yourself.
Okay, good idea, because we are all exhausted from prioritizing everybody.
Yeah. So all of these deal with some form of that. Oh. And I think that's all you need.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, number
one.
Hey, Jerry and crew. My issue that I'm having is with my fiance's family and their constant nagging and dismissing my feelings about us moving back home. My dad passed away almost 2 years ago, so I need some fatherly advice.
Okay.
My fiance, male 21, and I, female 21, moved out of our small hometown to a bigger city, an hour away, a year and some change ago. My family was very supportive and over the moon excited for us. His family, on the other hand, weren't as excited. His mom made a joke saying he couldn't leave, which I found funny considering she only visited us for less than 5 minutes at our first apartment in our hometown that we lived in for a year and has only visited us once at our new one. My fiance and I have been loving it out here. However, despite that, when we do visit home, we get raw-dogged with questions. My fiance's uncle is the worst about it. He wants us to move into his rental house that he's fixing up, which is a half an hour away from our hometown. Well, my fiance applied for a job back home, not thinking he would actually get it. He's in the process of getting hired, so it's looking like he will have to commute. This has only made everything worse. A couple of weeks ago, his uncle and his aunt came to visit us. The entire time they were here, they talked about how we needed to move home and into their rental house. I kept repeating myself by saying, "We like it here. My job is still here, and we're not breaking our lease." His uncle went as far to say, "I won't charge you for the first 3 months' rent if you break your lease and move home." Uncle's wife even said fiance isn't going to want to commute every day and he will be making more money than you. I guess my feelings don't matter. By the end of their visit, I was exhausted by them. Uncle's wife even mentioned that her sister commuted to the same job my fiance is going to be at and she only lives 10 minutes from us. I told Uncle's wife, "Well, there you go. Have your sister move into y'all's house." That was met with no response. I know the conversation of us moving home or to a nearby town will eventually have to happen, but we will be here until next February at least, and even then I don't want to move into his uncle's place. I don't care how cheap the rent will be. I hate how they make me feel as if my feelings don't matter. They only care about fiance and getting him back home. His mom has mentioned us moving home and so has his dad. My family is supportive in whatever we do. What can I do or say to get them off our backs about this topic? Fiance has told them he likes it here too, but doesn't like confrontation. leaving me to look like I'm keeping him here. Any advice is appreciated. Feel free to let me know of any questions you might have. And thank you so much. Love y'all and the podcast.
Well, I think it's important that you and your in your fiance both are on the same path, and you both get each other. And that's the first step. So even though he likes living where they're living and doing his thing, he's got to learn up how to man up and say, you know something, guys, this is a boundary and I love you, but we're doing our own thing. And we really don't want to mix family and living situation.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the way we're going to conduct it. So please don't wait for us to move in. Go do what you got to do and go rent your house. And good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Ideal outcome for his family to get off my ass. Mm-hmm. Additional info, the job my fiance is going to eventually be at is the same job his uncle and uncle's wife work at. So, yeah, but, you know.
It doesn't matter. You don't want to mix. She made it very, very plain. Yeah. I don't want to mix the family and business with regards to our living situation. We are going to have our own place. We're going to do our own thing. And if you respect me, it's kind of a boundary for me, and please respect it. I mean, if Morgan said that to you, you would have no issue with it.
Yeah, well,
or vice versa.
Right. I mean, you both decided to move out of the small hometown mm-hmm. to this bigger city. You did that together. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of you dragged the other out there. And so I think a conversation about, hey, what do we really want? Aside from all the external pressures and the mm-hmm. external people, what do we want mm-hmm. for us right now and in, you know, for the near future? Because you can always make a change. You can always move home. But what makes sense right now?
Well, here's one more thought. They're 21 years old each. And families really believe that they have to manipulate everybody when they're 21. This is a wonderful time to what you can say to them. You know, we are really spreading our own wings. We're becoming our own people. Allow us that ability. Please respect that we are really trying to... We know you're trying to help, and we get the goodness in you, but this is something that we have to do. And when you say it that way, hopefully they get the message and back off. If they don't, you know, a rubber hammer is always good. You're right on the toe.
We don't commit crimes here.
It's not a crime. It's a rubber hammer. Oh. It's an inflatable.
The only thing that's really weird is... My fiance applied for a job back home, not thinking he would actually get it. What's the point? I mean, if we're going to try and be in this big city and now all of a sudden we're applying for jobs back home, mm-hmm. is that purely for, oh, maybe if I get it, it'll be a huge opportunity and I'll make so much money? Or is it subtly, I want to go back home because I'm it's said right here, you know, I'm a people pleaser. He doesn't want to cause confrontation. He doesn't want to have confrontation.
It's simply a conversation she's got to have with him to find out the real, you know, drive on that.
Because I'm starting to feel like he did that on purpose.
This is a conversation that, remember, they're young. They're 21 years old. There's a lot of growing here to go on. And the fact that, you know, you and your husband or future husband are going to do some growing together, this is a wonderful time to start saying, where do we draw the line with our family and where it's us? I mean, typically people are now waiting till they're a lot older getting married and they're getting past all this, you know, family input to guide us how to, you know, how we should form our life. Piss off. Let them, let the kids do their own thing.
Yeah.
Let them grow. I certainly have seen some of my kids in relationships where they were manipulated in a lot of ways. And now they've grown their own feet. So look, I was, you know, I try to really put my brakes on when it comes to stuff. You know, Taylor's got a new job. He's going to be doing sales. And I said, did you do your list, your call list for Monday or Tuesday? And I said, have you sent out what are you doing about marketing yourself? Are you going to be doing using AI to start putting together some mailing lists to try to find contacts where you can start pounding? Because if you're going to look to cold call every call you people that you know, you're not going to be able to cover the amount that you could really cover to start, bringing some possible contacts in.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'll take it under consideration. I said, great. And then I let it die. Now, Taylor's sales, you know, he has done some sales on a limited basis. I've been selling since I was, you know, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, I'd like to be able to help him get through some of that stuff and maybe get a little jump ahead. But if he's not ready for it, he's going to, I planted the seed, let it go. That's all you can do. And that's all his parents should be allowed to do.
Yeah.
Plant the seed, let it go.
Well, good time to start figuring that out.
Mm-hmm. And stand together.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on to number two.
Two.
Let's go.
Dear Dad.
Yes.
I've, 32 female, been with my husband, 35 male, for 7 years, married for 3.
Yes.
We are good, and I have a good relationship with his in-laws, for the most part, but I tend to get anxious when the whole family is all together still. He has 2 siblings, and they all come off as alphas and try to take control of plans and all that. Every family gathering, there is a blow up of some kind. When hanging out individually, it's usually fine. So that's part of the anxiety. But the other half is my husband donated his sperm to his sister's wife years before we met, and they had 4 kids that way. I understand why. I think it's great his sister can still say she is biologically related to her kids.
Mm-hmm.
He signed away all his rights and his sister adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
But his mom, all caps, really pushes him to be more involved with those kids and wants him to be their father figure so they don't develop daddy issues.
Woo.
The thing is, he isn't their dad and has no rights and does not want to be involved like that at all. Now the pressure is being put on me. She has gone around and told the whole family how I specifically need to be more involved with the girls. And she tries to pressure me into getting my husband to play that role. She wants him too. The more she pushes, the less I want to do it, and it feels forced. They live across the country, so we only see them like 4 times a year, and the kids are all young, so they don't have their own phones or anything. So I don't get how we are supposed to be more involved anyway. His mom gets upset because we don't really fly out to see his siblings. We usually do a big trip, and then a couple little fun ones throughout the year, and would much rather use our PTO for that. His siblings have said they wished we came out more, but neither of us are interested because it's usually just sitting around. I guess my question is, should I/we try to be more involved and do what his mother wants, or do what we have been doing? It just really bothers me when she tries to force me to have a relationship, but I am being immature?
They're an aunt and an uncle. That's it. And I think that it gets very confusing after that. And maybe one day you can certainly say where the kids, you know, where your biological connection was, that we were all family. But you are not the parent. You are an uncle and an aunt. And mom just needs to keep out of it. No one invited her anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the way I see it. I mean, if you guys want to take a more active role in some cases, that's up to that individual family. But don't start taxing the uncle, who just, by the way, was a sperm donor, because he now has to step in and be dad or a male figure. That's the two mothers' choices to decide how they want to involve male figures in their life, if they feel it's even important, or if they're going to get it some other way through some friends of theirs. That's their gig. This isn't mother-in-law's gig.
Right.
So I really do think that we're back into boundaries. All this stuff has been boundaries today. And you simply have to say, you know, I appreciate, and this goes for every circumstance where it comes where people are giving their opinion. And they're all alphas.
Yeah.
You can just say, I really appreciate it. And thank you. I'm going to take under consideration and let it go in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because that really does end the conversation, unless they want to go, you know, continue to get their bats and keep beating the shit out of you.
I don't know. That's when we've talked in the past. You just have to start setting harder boundaries and sticking to them. And sometimes people have to go low contact.
Right.
And hopefully we don't have to get there.
And that's correct. If they don't shut up, you have to say, you know, something, we really enjoyed our day it's really time. We got some stuff we got to go do. We're taking off. We just don't want to. And don't be nasty about it. Just get up and say, it's time for us to leave.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you later.
I mean, the thing is, these kids, they have their parents.
Mm-hmm.
The other big thing is, he isn't their dad and has no rights and does not want to be involved like that at all.
That was
the answer.
That was the rule right from the beginning.
And so, you know, it sucks that it's just been so forced upon you that you're thinking about, you know, you're starting to question yourself about, well, should we actually be more involved? Are we in the wrong? You know, when someone keeps pushing and pushing and pushing to where you start looking at like, oh, I must be wrong. I don't think, obviously, that you need to be more involved against your wishes. You would only be doing it for what his mom wants. You know, it's not like there's some issue with the kids and they're needing someone else in their life. It's really some kind of thing within his mom that's saying, these kids need a man in their life.
Go back to square one. Go back to the original conversation you had with your sister and her wife. That's where it goes back to. This was the agreement we made, Mom. I'm really glad that you have all your opinion, but your opinion doesn't get involved here.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And you can be angry with me or whatever, but this is the way it is. So let's not discuss this anymore. If the two women, if the two mothers have a question they want to talk to me about, hey, they can open their dialogue and we can have a conversation. But this isn't the deal we made. And I'm respecting the deal we made.
Right. Well, and it's interesting that it seems like the husband has been like, no, no thanks. So now the mom has moved to telling the whole family that she, her daughter-in-law, needs to be the one to step up and do this so that somehow he'll then get more involved. It just, I
got a better question for you.
Yeah.
Ready for this one? Now the mother keeps, you know, offering all this dynamic. And trust me, kids are going to feel this dynamic going on. And all of a sudden, they're going to get this complex that my biological father is my uncle and he doesn't want to have anything to do with me. Another problem.
That's true. Yeah.
Psychologically, this can have some implication. Mom needs to shut the fuck up and mind her own business. That's my thought.
You know, there's no mention other than the fact that they signed the rights away and this is what they did. They had four kids that way. Mm-hmm. There's no other mention about
the mother, the sister and sister-in-law.
At all.
No.
There's no mention. So if they were directly involved in pushing this, it'd be be kind of a different situation. It's just you have not uninvolved, but close to, you know, it's like within the family, but you have someone who's technically not involved trying to push all this forward and it can be a lot.
A control freak, a mother, the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
The mother. So my answer is you got to tell her there's a boundary here. It just doesn't concern you. You have no part of it. And I thank you very much, but I think that I would really appreciate you staying out of it.
Yeah,
and lay down the dynamic. If it's the accountability, expectation, and accountability. My expectation is you're going to stay out of it. The accountability, if you trip yourself back into this thing, I'm going to back away from you. And you're making that decision. I am not. I've told you quite clearly, don't cross this boundary. It's not yours. It's my boundary and their boundary. And this was an agreement we made from the very beginning. I see no reason to change it. They haven't come to me to change it. It's not your conversation. You're overstepping your bounds.
And you think this is coming from the husband? This is what the husband should be going to his mom with.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if his wife is involved, they could be united front, but it's not just on the wife to go deal with this.
No. It's definitely on the husband has to stand with his wife and point blank. There's got to be a conversation there. And this wasn't the original deal that he made. Now, he may say to the wife, since she came on later, right? He may say, you know something? I don't mind doing that.
He does, though.
But if he said he didn't mind, then she has to really jump on board with him or have a conversation with him about it, if that was the case. I know he doesn't. I know that he signed a deal with, and he made the deal with his sister and sister-in-law. But the bottom line is that if he does not wish to do this, then he needs to go to his mom and say, "Mom, you got to really cut this out."
Yeah. Period.
Period.
Okay. Well, I guess let us know how this one evolves. Let us know on all of these. If any of these are your write-ins, keep us updated.
And check the comments, because there are going to be a lot of people having comments on this one.
I think we're due for a little update episode soon.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we got
to
do that.
I'm down. And we also have to mention again that we love to do our group teas.
Yes.
For our Patreon members. So don't forget to join Patreon. And I've been, when we go to the live shows and I've been meeting people, I keep saying the place to really meet up again, to keep us close, Group T. They're fantastic.
That's true.
All right, let's go on to number three.
One of this week's partners is Dipsy. Have you recently just finished A Court of Thorns and Roses and are looking for another fantasy to devour? That is where you turn to Dipsy, my friends. From fairy smut to enemies and lovers, even accents. You want accents? They got accents. You name it, you're going to find something on Dipsy that gets you in the mood or maybe practicing some quality self-care. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. I love how Dipsy really brings these stories to life. You can really imagine yourself in the scene and with these characters, experiencing what they're experiencing. And you're never going to get bored because Dipsy is releasing new content every week. I love a good book just like anyone, but there's times where I just really want to relax and not strain my eyes and just get in the mood with an audio experience. And Dipsy delivers that to a whole nother level, especially if you're horizontal. For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/FKS. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/FKS. dipsystories.com/FKS.
Okay. Number three.
New animal three. Trace.
Yeah, that. Hello, all.
Hello there.
Sorry for the lengthy letter. I'll try to summarize.
Let's see it.
My issue has to deal with both family and my job. Last year, I was a fifth grade math teacher. I was in my first year, and it was a terrible one. The school that I was at lacked structure and support for all staff. Nonetheless, as I was struggling every day, earlier this year, my father became very ill. He was in and out of the hospital for an infection, which then we found out was from a very inflamed and complicated diverticulitis. Because of all this, a combination of my father's illness and the lack of support at my job, I decided to not renew my contract. My family has a business where they manufacture and sell Western boots. And since my dad was struggling with his health, the business was also struggling, since my parents are both the owners and are both very hands-on. I stepped in and helped out. Fast forward to now, I'm still helping and working for my parents. My dad is in better health and we are on the road to his second surgery. However, business with my family has been a whole new struggle.
I know this real well.
Their clients are very old school and so are my parents. So many of the things that I have tried to implement or change ultimately do not work because they are so set in their ways. Well, business is okay at times. I ultimately do not see a sufficient profit for my parents' business for themselves. They don't pay themselves and are always needing to pay bills or vendors, either here or in Mexico, where the factory is located. There are times when they are tight with money that I don't even want to get my paycheck because I know my parents aren't getting anything, and I can see that they are struggling. So since all of this, I've been reflecting and thinking about what I should do for myself and my future, and I keep thinking back if I should go back into teaching, since that is what my degree is in, and I only gave it a year's try. I could go to a different district, try a different grade level, and see if this is what I actually want to do. But I'm conflicted if I leave my family's business. They are then left with all the work and stress. My parents are older and they do a lot of physical labor in this job at times. I feel guilty if I decide to leave, since it will leave a lot for them on their plate. They have so much passion for their work and have sacrificed a lot of time in it, but a lot of the problems do stem from the factory in Mexico, which is mostly employed by my dad's family and some of my mom's. Typical don't mix family and business scenarios. I want my parents to have something for their retirement, but the way things have been, they have nothing saved. I see what they go through firsthand, unlike my other siblings, and what the stress does to them, and I hate that, but I see no significant changes. If I go back to teaching, how can I tell my parents? What could ease the guilt that I have for leaving? Any advice would be helpful.
Well, I got advice for you.
Okay.
Because you took on a very brave solution to a short-term problem. Now the problem is over. Your dad's out of the hospital. Go back to your life. You know, I see all kinds of things going on here. The fact that they are living, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul in the small family business, and everyone in Mexico is making the product, and now you're an employee here. Are they actually taking out withholding tax and paying the FICA every week as you draw your paycheck? Because that's a whole new problem. That gets involved with the IRS if the case is they are not. Yeah. So you got to make sure that things are being done very, very, very on the level with regarding the business and what they're doing. Or there could be a whole new issue.
Yeah.
That could be worse. You know, the fact that they are the only two employees, or you know, they're owner operated and they're doing their taxes and whatever they're doing. But becoming an employee and you're not an owner, that's a whole different gig. And you are taking direction from them. They are giving you the orders of what you have to do. It's not that you have a free realm, that you're an independent contractor where you're making these choices and decisions.
Yeah.
They're guiding you.
Yeah.
So my answer to you is go back to your own life. You have a way out now. Unless you're passionate about doing boots and you're going to find a way to go, you know, start retooling the plant to be more effective, and you're going to make a better product, and you're going to be doing this, and you're
right,
taking over the marketing side, and they can keep up with you. Everything else is just a tough go. And I was in family business. From the time I was 8, I was working in my dad's business. And then later I went to work for a friend of his. And next thing I know is the guy dies and my dad and I started our own business. And it was hell. It was just hell, because they have their own way of doing things. And sometimes they can't allow and this happens in a lot of family businesses. Mm-hmm. They don't allow you to grow to maybe that you have a way that's better than what they did. Their egos can't allow it. They can't grow with it. So it's doomed for that.
Yeah.
There's been very few family businesses that I know that were structured well, that were, they had management skills. They brought training in. They brought everything to really make them succeed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like this is the path that they are on. They are a ma and pa business, and that's what they want to remain. Got to let them do their thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know friends that still are working in their family businesses and things like that. So there's a lot of cases where it works, but it is the typical don't mix family and business. You see it with friends, mm-hmm. you know, trying to work with friends, and all of a sudden you have to have a tough conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those people can't separate business mm-hmm. and friendship, and they don't understand that I'm talking to you about business.
Mm-hmm.
And then we switch back to friendship. You know, you got to kind of turn it on and off. So
it's rough.
You know, just being a family in itself,
mm-hmm.
like the stories we've seen, mm-hmm. a lot of problems come from that. Now we mix business in, but that's not what we're after here. The thing here is basically you have gone and done this great thing because it was good timing. You wanted mm-hmm. to go help your parents out and you weren't really satisfied in your job.
Right.
Now we're finding that we're also not satisfied in this job. It was great. I'm glad I could be there and help you guys, but I'm guilty because if I leave, I feel like it'll all fall apart and I don't want to see you guys struggle that hard. So
They'll be fine.
Yes, but I understand that position mm-hmm. because I would be very conflicted as well. But, you know, there's a balance. There's a balance in life where you have to look out for yourself. And there's so many people that don't. And when they realize, they realize too late.
You have to recognize where you're coming in at this. I mean, look, I've had my own business for all, you know, I've always worked for myself basically all my life. And, you know, two and a half years ago, you came up with an idea, let's do Father Knows. And we formed a little partnership. However, we did that. I didn't do it and then invite you in. We did it together. And pretty much I said, I really don't care what it does. Go do your thing. I just show up.
Yeah.
So I don't get involved in the day-to-day operations of the ads or this or that or the, I don't, it's just not my thing. To me, this is retirement. I get to come in, I get to relax, I get to schmooze with you.
Yeah.
We get to talk to the people. I get to go to, I pop in into some of the, you know, the live shows. I meet, you know, fans. I get to go love them and just have the ones that come up to me and say, you were there when I lost my dad, and when they cry on my shoulder and I get mm-hmm. to hold them.
Yeah.
That to me is fantastic, but it's not about the money. When you get involved in about the money and about survival and all the other stuff, it's a different dynamic. I know what I went through with my dad when he was alive and we were partners. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of yelling. Typically, I was gone. If there's 12 months in a year, I was gone 13 months. And over the phone, he would be yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs. And my mother would say to him, she goes, why do you need the phone? He can hear you and he's in Kentucky.
That's funny.
Anyway, so I think that go back and hone your skills as your teacher. It's a very, very rewarding career. You'll master it. You'll figure it out. That was your first year into it. You didn't have enough time even to get your feet wet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll be a great teacher and see where that takes you. It might take you to somewhere different.
Never know.
But take your path.
Well, it's kind of a rip the bandaid off situation. There's never going to be a convenient time to leave. There's never going to be a convenient time to have the conversation with them. And I don't think you need to build up the courage to do it. You just simply need to not think, mm-hmm. walk in and do it.
This is the time. He's back to work.
Just go for it.
Yeah. We're in the summer. You're going to be starting the fall. There's going to be another school year. People are going to be looking for teachers. Go to it. Get back in your gig.
Yeah. No, there's not going to be a better time. So let's get back to it and maybe we'll be ready for next school year.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Another one of this week's partners is Robinhood. I know I myself am guilty of not knowing what to do with my money, not knowing where to invest it. And if that sounds familiar, look no further. Robinhood is here. Robinhood has pioneered commission-free stock trading over a decade ago, and they continue to offer innovative products to help you maximize your money's potential. We all work hard for our money, and financial literacy is not something that's talked about barely ever. So how do you invest? How do you make these moves to secure your family's financial future or invest for a big thing like maybe buying your first home or even a smaller big ticket item like a family vacation to Jamaica? Robinhood could help you take control of your finances and make investments towards your goals, whatever they may be. Robinhood could help your family build a better financial future. With a gold membership, you could earn 5% APY on uninvested cash plus so many other features. Download the Robinhood app or visit Robinhood.com now to start building a better financial future. That's Robinhood.com or download the app to learn more. Now, disclosure. Investing involves risk. Returns are not guaranteed. Other fees may apply. Robinhood Gold is offered through Robinhood Financial LLC and is a subscription offering premium services for a fee terms. Apply to the APY and rate is subject to change. More info in the description of the podcast.
Number three.
Not number three.
Number four.
Number four.
Let's get back to it. Number four.
Hi, Jerry and family.
Hello.
I am truly sorry for the long story, but I really don't know what to do. I, 25 female, have had a strained relationship with my father, 56 male, since I was about 10 years old. My mother and father divorced when I was 2 years old after my mother discovered years of infidelity from my father. Mm-hmm. My mother remarried when I was 12 to an amazing man, I'll call him Dave, who really has taken on the dad role in every sense from the moment he and my mom started dating. Shortly after my father and my mom divorced, he married an amazing woman, Whitney, who treated me like her own. He was emotionally abusive to her, and he also, of course, cheated, so they divorced. He forbid me from talking to her, so I ultimately lost contact with her, even though it broke my heart. His next wife, Carol, was absolutely horrible to me. She was jealous of me and purposefully made me feel unwelcome at my father's house to the point that I stopped going for years. My father did nothing about Carol's behavior and simply let me stay away. Eventually, he ended up cheating again.
Of course.
And they divorced.
Of course.
Ever since then, our relationship has been strained. My father's never been able to remain faithful, but also has never been able to be single. So he has a pattern of falling fast, marrying within the first few months, and then cheating and divorcing. Mm-hmm. It's a constant cycle. He's on his fifth wife. I am marrying my fiance, Zane, 29 male, in October of this year. We've been together for 6 years, and he is without a doubt the man I want to spend the rest of my life with. My mom and Dave love him and have always recognized how well he's treated me. 6 years back, Whitney invited me to her birthday party after expressing how much she missed me.
What a wonderful thing.
Zane was there. He's a family friend. And the rest is history.
So she met Zane through Whitney. Wow.
Zane has been nothing but respectful to him, but my father can't stand that I met Zane through Whitney.
Yeah, too bad for him.
And he's always treated Zane with contempt and disrespectfulness. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, father's father, unexpectedly passed away last December, and Zane and I already planned a small trip the next weekend. My mom encouraged us to go, saying that my grandfather would want me to still enjoy my life. Zane proposed on that trip. Afterward, I FaceTimed my mom and Dave. They knew and were very happy.
Right.
I also called my father. He didn't answer, so I left a voicemail. He never responded until I reached out to him the day before my grandpa's funeral, when I timidly asked if he had anything to say about my engagement. He said that he speaks for the family when he said the timing of the engagement was very disrespectful to my grandpa's death. This is false. His side of the family all called to congratulate me and said my grandpa is smiling down from heaven and wants me to be happy. Mm-hmm. My father said that Zane had no right and that he doesn't support it, but oh well, it is what it is. Not going to lie, that really hurt. He has shown no interest in the wedding. He hasn't offered to contribute or even asked when it is. He does, however, think he's walking me down the aisle and doing a father-daughter dance.
Really?
However, I've always known that my mom and Dave will be walking me down the aisle, and Dave and I will do the father-daughter dance.
And I say bravo and brava.
I do plan on inviting my father, but how do I break it to him that that's where his involvement stops? I want to be respectful and let my father know that he's welcome, but how can I convey why? Because of his previous actions and behavior towards mine and Zane's relationship, he will not be involved in the wedding the way a typical father would. Mm-hmm. I have a history of clamming up during tough discussions and walking away, having said maybe a few sentences. I'm dreading having this conversation and would really appreciate some talking points. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really glad about this write-in. First of all, I say fantastic. And Whitney, she is my hero. And,
yeah, what a crazy...
And look how that woman just...
Look how things happen.
Really, really. So the answer really is simple. You're correct. The guy who's really been your dad is Dave. He has supported you in every aspect of a father-daughter relationship and a home. It's been a great example and a great person.
Yep.
Because your biological father, dad, as you wish to call him, is who he is, doesn't give him the right to say who's going to get the first father-daughter dance. Now, you can certainly dance with your dad at your wedding. But the first dance after you dance with your husband, you'll dance with your with Dave.
Yeah.
And you can just point blank say, you know, I'm going to let you know right now, Dad, the way that this is going to go down is the following. And you're welcome to, we want you at the wedding. You're welcome to come, even though you have not been supportive in any way, shape, or form. If anything, you've been negative and you've been causing stress into my life. But yeah. I'm hoping that life is long and we can get beyond this.
Yeah.
And if you can, just know that when we're at the wedding, the first dance I'm going to be doing with Mom and Dave. And then after that, if you want to have a dance, we'll follow up and we'll have our own dance. But this is the way it's going to be. I don't want any scenes. And if you feel that you can't do this under the following, you know, expectations, then I will understand.
Yeah.
And leave it like that. You cannot raise your voice. He's going to go crazy. And all you can do when he goes nuts, if he goes nuts, is say, you know, Dad, we're going to pause the conversation. You get to go breathe, go outside and do some breathing exercises. If you want to go home, that's okay. You want to tackle it another day? We can. But I'm not changing my mind in the way that I'm orchestrating this.
Right.
Or choreographing my day.
Yeah.
And that's it. You didn't raise your voice. You had all your thoughts together and you lived the rules.
Yeah. I mean, that goes right with the ideal outcome, mm-hmm. to have a discussion with my father that mm-hmm. conveys my feelings in a respectful manner, mm-hmm. but still lets him know that ultimately his actions are the reason his Correct. Involvement in my wedding will be limited. Mm-hmm. And I think the way you're approaching it is perfect. The thing is in life, there's these horribly difficult conversations that pop up and we have to have them, not by anything of our own doing, mm-hmm. but just because circumstances led us to need to do this. Mm-hmm. And what I've found with those conversations is the more you keep thinking about it, pushing it off.
Oh, it's worse.
It's just the stress builds and mm-hmm. it just gets worse and worse and worse. Because no matter how bad that conversation mm-hmm. goes, once you have it, you will feel 10 times better. Even if he's like, you know what? I'm out. I'm not coming. I'm not showing up. Maybe he comes around after that. I don't know. But that's all of that's on him. The thing is the conversation happened.
I got more for you too.
Well, 1 second. And so if you can just get the conversation started, even if you have to walk away, like you said, mm-hmm. it's just going to make you feel so much better and you can start moving toward your wedding day. Instead of there's this one big barrier in between you and your wedding day, and it's this conversation.
You're right. Don't make this the barrier, but I would definitely make sure that you are in control when he gets out of control. And one more thought for you that I really want you to bear. You know, he is an abuser. There's no doubt. He has proven this. Whitney is going to be at this event too. And who knows how he'll behave around Whitney, because he may not have seen Whitney in the last 20 years or whatever, so forth.
Don't know.
So it might be an idea to make sure you have a security officer there that, just in case, someone that can bounce this guy out if he gets out of control.
Yeah.
Because it's not out of the realm of possibilities. And because he is known to kind of go off the handle, he is, you know, one that would yell at people and have this moronic behavior. My answer to you is, you know, even though you're going to get control on this thing by telling him what the way it's going to be, if he falls out of grace at this event, you got to be able to get his ass out of there.
Yeah.
Because it can't, and it's not you getting involved. Somebody already knows how to handle who the target is, how to remove the target, and you're going to enjoy your day.
Right. And then that removes you worrying about that the entire time.
That's right.
On your wedding day. Which leads to one more question she asked for you.
Mm-hmm.
My father is a very talented musician, and Whitney, being the gracious and lovely woman that she is, suggested that I ask my father to play the music as I walk down the aisle as a way to involve him in some way. Is this a good idea?
If he'll accept it.
Right. Because realistically,
it makes him certain it disarms some of the problem. Whitney's brilliant. I think she's great.
but does it also give him a direct way to mess with it?
I don't think he would. I think that if he accepted the job and he knew that he was playing the music and this is where you would like him to be involved, that might be the way of making everything politically really balanced. She's brilliant.
Yes. It depends how the initial conversation goes.
Yeah.
Then we can get there. But we got to have the conversation that, A, you're not walking me down the aisle. B, we're not doing the father-daughter dance. And C, your involvement will be rather limited. We need to see how that all goes and plays out before we can be like, oh, but by the way, would you want to do this?
This is how I'd like to involve you.
Yeah, but I'd just wait a little.
The word, well, I might hit it all at the same time. It depends on how you deliver all the messages.
I think it depends how he's responding.
I mean, I can say, this is where I'd like for you to participate. This is the way it's going to happen after that. If you want to go along with this whole thing, I think it would be wonderful having you play the music. This is your part rather than walking me down. I need you to be playing the music.
See, I just feel like if it's all going south in the conversation and he's just reacting super poorly to everything, you get to that music part and he's going to be like, oh, so you just want me to play the music. Okay, I see. And just like, I think it could go south really quick. But I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying we need to suss out where we're at with all the bigger things and then get there.
This is going to be a way that you know the guy the best way. My feeling is, I think that you identify what we're doing. This is the way I see my wedding. I'm going to have Dave and Mom walk me down the aisle.
Yep.
I want you to be there to play the music. Because then you're not throwing him this bone. Well, instead of this, I'm going to have you do that. You're really saying, I have thought this out. This is how I want you to be playing the music for me.
That's true.
And that's a positive. So you really want to hit with the positive stuff. And even though it's part of your reasoning is to get him away and use the eraser for him walking you, he's getting the importance of playing the music of you coming down.
Time will tell.
So let us know
how it goes. I'm very curious, yes.
Okay.
Another one of this week's partners is Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are upon us, which means summer shenanigans. The last thing a lot of us want to do is be in the kitchen for hours cooking meals. Hate it. Actually, hate it. That's where Factor can come in. Factor has a menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. These are fresh, never frozen meals that are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, no matter how many kids you're chasing after, you can still enjoy a nutritious, great tasting meal. Truly great tasting. Every single Factor meal I've ever had has been so good. And I love how there's a little bit of everything. My favorite is this Fiesta Lime Chicken. And it comes with that on top of rice and a little side of veggies. It's just this perfect smorgasbord of food. And it's so good and filling. I feel like I had a hearty meal without having to do anything for it, which is the best part. Head to factormeals.com/FKS50 and use code FKS50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That's code FKS50 at factormeals.com/FKS50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Okay, well,
we got to go on number five.
Number five. Hello, Fathers Know Something crew and puppy crew.
She's home.
Slacking.
Napping.
I love your show and have listened to every episode of this show and THT. I am sorry, but this is a long one.
Okay. Well, we have 15 minutes, so let's see how we can...
Don't say that. I have a dilemma that I've been dealing with for quite some time that I would love an outside view on. I'm a 32-year-old female and I am married to my high school sweetheart, 32 male. We have two kids and are doing okay for ourselves. The issue I'm having is that I don't know if I want to be married anymore. A little background, I stupidly waited 14 years to get married because we were 16 when we met, and it just never seemed like a good time. At first, it felt like once we were grown, I was basically begging him to marry me for years. Then I just got to the point where I didn't want to get married anymore. But after I had my youngest, I decided it was only right to get married. However, my husband has been declining for some years now, and I've done all I can do to help him get better, and I just don't know what to do anymore. I've encouraged him to go to therapy, to eat better, to take better care of himself, etc., but he always changes for about a week, then goes back to the same habits. I know a lot of it is depression, but I feel a lot of it is laziness as well. He barely helps around the house. He is constantly on his phone, so he barely helps with the kids, and we never go on dates unless I initiate or it's a special occasion. Every time I'm upset with him, he either mysteriously doesn't feel good or something happens with his family. Every adult thing we have done, I have done by myself. For example, we were one of the lucky ones who were able to buy a house before the rates went up, but the whole process I did basically alone. I applied for the loan because his credit wasn't where it needed to be to go in together, and when I tried to include him in the process, he did little to nothing. I found every single home we went to look at, and he only sent me a few homes we couldn't afford, and after we closed on the house, he complained that I didn't allow him to be part of anything, and I shut him out, which was far from the truth. I've gotten into several arguments with him and his mom, who enables him but tries to help, to the point where he told her everything I said I didn't like about her, and we literally argued for hours with them attacking me. The final straw for me is I allowed him to take over paying a major bill and found out 6 months later that he wasn't paying the bill on time and was at the time 3 months behind, causing my credit score to drop significantly. I was up on my lease on my car, so I had to have my dad and sister help me get into a new one because my car is also our only car. He also does not care about taking care of himself at all. I won't go into details about this, but it has gotten bad. I've brought these issues up to him for him to say, there must be another reason I want him to leave, and he doesn't know why, even though I have laid out everything for him on many occasions. The only good thing about our relationship is that he is my best friend, in a sense, and we have a great time together when we are on good terms, and I do love him. I'm just not sure if I'm in love with him anymore. My question is, how do I go about separating from him and moving on with my life? This is the only man I've been with since I was 16. He was my first everything, and I am just terrified of being a single mom and having to be alone. I really want to know your opinion on this.
Sometimes when we lose respect for somebody, loving them and being in love with them is a real dividing line. And in order to get that respect, it may just amount of him getting healthy. And that's a decision that you have to make. Do you want to be there as he's getting healthy? Do you want to separate and say, we are now legally separated and go get healthy?
Yeah.
Or we stay together and you get healthy? This is a decision you have to make on your own. I can't make this, but I can certainly say that when you lose respect, you lose the being in love sometimes, at least with me.
Well, the ideal outcome, I want to separate, maybe divorce, but still be friends with him and raise our children together without any animosity. So She does want to separate. She's just wondering, how do I go about doing that and moving on?
Point direct. You just can't fool around with it. You just have to say point blank, this is what is happening.
Yeah.
And if something should change later at another date because something magical happens, great. I mean, we're certainly going to know we are in each other's lives for the rest of our lives. We have children together.
Yeah.
That's the reality to it. But I have no romantic drive right now. And because of that, I'm not going to sleep in the same environment. I'm not going to come home and have to deal with all this stuff. I don't want to have to worry about paying the bills. I'm going to you take care of yourself. I'm going to take care of myself. And as far as the kids, you know, the courts will decide what to do, whatever we negotiate with our lawyers, mm-hmm. as far as our children. But
yeah,
I'm not staying in this marriage.
Yeah.
And if something happens magically because you really do take it serious and you get some assistance, because this is all the signs of depression. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not a psychologist, but from what my experience over years of noticing depression and experience, you know, depression, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that this is your first step and don't fuck around. Go get it done.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a theme throughout a lot of these stories, mm-hmm. is just have the conversation, just make the move, just go for it. Mm-hmm. And it's easier said than done.
Now, does it have to be ugly? It does not have to be an ugly conversation.
No,
we don't have to get into throwing our, you know, throwing shit at one another to get out. It's just doing it and giving the relationship the respect and the moving on out of the relationship, the respect that it deserves. You guys have years together. You do know one another. You have to have friendships of some type to have been where you're at. But, you know, I mean, sometimes they give this thing to when you get married, for better or for worst. And this is obviously the worst. It's not healthy. It's not good. You know, this is where both of you have a responsibility in the better for worst to do what has to be done. And this is a step to maybe the beginning, the end means of this will bring a better ending or possibility of your relationship moving forward when everyone takes it serious to say, where are we missing it? Where did we get derailed?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think if you've already made the choice to separate, mm-hmm. I would just, you know, how do I go about separating? Well, I mean, you just...
Conversation.
It's just getting to that point of walking in and doing it. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, I guess the process really takes care of itself, and moving on will just, it'll just fall in line with this whole deal. You know, there's a part of me that also feels maybe this will be the... I don't know. Maybe this is the thing that...
The reality?
Well, I just think that maybe doing this and moving forward will give him the spark needed to
get
pick himself up. Yeah. Sometimes that's what it takes. You can get very comfortable with, you know, within someone's house, and they're taking care of the kids and doing everything around the house. Mm-hmm. It's especially dealing with depression. So... You know, hopefully what I hope for this is that you're able to separate and, you know, peacefully and get to a point where you are both better parents for the kids, mm-hmm. and can co-parent in some fashion, like you say here, without any animosity. And, you know, you can't control every aspect of that happening, but you can hope. But if you think it's going to go bad, that's still no reason to stay. It's time to separate and move forward. Mm-hmm. And I think there's very good things
you can't have
ahead.
You can't have two sad parents in a draining relationship and think your kids are having a good time.
Yeah.
They feel it. So, I mean, you're really making the right decision to go get out of this environment, see how he picks himself up.
Yeah.
And going through the legal separation solves the problem with the bills.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Well, and the thing is, divorce isn't a bad thing. You know, obviously no one gets married with the intention of getting divorced, or at least I'd hope not.
Right.
But it's not a bad thing. You can, you know, people have divorce parties. Mm-hmm. It's a fresh start. It's not the end all. It's not the mm-hmm. end of your life. And there's so many great things ahead. So it's not, you know, there's nothing to regret.
Yeah, you guys were young.
We've done 30. Everything up until now, and, you know, we are where we are. And so this is the next best choice.
She's 32 years old. I mean, we got, this is the prime time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go on with your life, this is the time that you need to do it.
Yeah.
So no time like the present.
That's right.
And simply just sit them down and say, look, you know, We've had this discussion. We know where we're at. I'm drawing the line. You need to go find yourself an apartment.
Yeah.
Take the next 5 days. End of the month is coming up. You're going to be able to go find a place, go sign a lease, and let's go. Let's move forward.
Yeah, I think that's a message to all of the write-ins from today. Mm-hmm. No better time than right now. Just do it. Boom.
That should be the name of the show.
The whole show, yeah.
This episode. No time like the present.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week's adventure. And we will see you on Patreon.
In the backyard.
In the backyard, doing our barbecue with our tree. And when you sign in next week, you'll see us in a new place.
That is right. Yeah. This is the send-off. So for everything here.
So it's going to be interesting to take this wall down.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it. So we'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.